All right. Pleasure to have you back with us. We join Mark Simon, Sports Info Solutions, Mark A. Simon says on Twitter. And just fans, so you know it, he is one of the outstanding baseball research analysts in the country. Mark, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Marty, I have a message from someone who referred to you as a legend. Curran McCauley at Haverford College in Pennsylvania, in Haverford. He listens on the East Coast every week. I couldn't believe it. I talked to him. He was all excited, and he wanted to make sure that you knew that he thought that you were a legend.
Well, I love it. You know, we have fans all over the country, and it's a pleasure to hear that. And give him our best, and tell him to call in once in a while. We'll talk to him.
Yep.
Hey, Alex Wood goes today for the Giants. He's only had a couple of starts, but when he records his first out today, that will be the completion of his 1,000th inning pitched as a major leaguer. How about that?
Oh, neat. I didn't even think of that. He's been all right so far. Like the The Guardians knocked around his fastball a little bit. It was much better the last time out. Alex Wood had basically like two seasons last year. He had the year at the start of the year where it was like the slider was really good, right? And that was like the key pitch that would bend in on the right-handed hitter. And then as the year went on, it seemed like he had to get more crafty because that didn't always work. And the fastball was got better, even though he doesn't necessarily throw it that hard. I think that's what happened in the last start. Ball was better. Nine and a third innings this year, 11 strikeouts. I think you like that. And I think you'll take what you've gotten from him so far.
One home run given up. He's been solid for the Giants, and he works quickly. And lot has to do
– my favorite part about him.
Yeah, he works quickly, and he gets the defense behind him set up. So on the other side of the coin, we finally got information from the Nationals that it's Aaron Sanchez, former Giant.
Right.
He 9 games last year for the Giants, 7 starts. He's had a tremendous career before getting hurt. And it's Aaron Sanchez, a righty, going against Wood today. Tell us about Aaron Sanchez. What could we expect?
So if you remember him from last season, he was there at the beginning. He came back briefly in the latter part of the season, but injuries derailed him, as they have often derailed him. I think he was a student of the Bannister-Bailey effect because he completely changed the way that he pitched compared to how he had pitched earlier in his career. He was throwing less than half fastballs when he used to be like a 70 to 80% fastball guy. When he was good at the start of the year, if you remember, it got away from him a little bit, but the curveball was his most effective results pitch. So I would look to see how his curveball is today. And if it's particularly good, like it was in those first couple of starts last season, I think the Giants might be challenged a little bit. I'll be curious to see what the Nats has done to him.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. You brought up the curveball. People don't throw fastballs anymore. You know, it used to be, I got a fastball. Yeah, I've got a fastball, and you better hit the fastball. And they've taken, look at Doval. He's a slider guy now. And you see so many of these fastball pitchers have turned into, you know, curve slider kind of pitch. Why is that?
I think it's probably because it's harder to hit something that darts and moves around like those should do. And the slider is like the most effective pitch, right? And I think you saw that with Junis last night. Like everything from him was not a fastball. It was, I think, he threw 7 fastballs out of 51 pitches. If you look at Jacob Junis's career stat line, his fastball gets slaughtered like just about nobody else in baseball. So why should he throw it, right? Like throw the other stuff. He was mixing in like a changeup yesterday, a pretty good amount. I think he realized, and I think that's what when we talk about like hitters changing their swings and stuff like that, with pitchers you have now pitch design and really sophisticated multiple coaches working on it as the Giants have. I think that's part of the cause of it. And I think for last night, at least, I think you got to be happy with it.
No, I think if you look all over baseball and you can find these big pitchers, you know, and everyone can touch 97, 98, they can. But then again, when you got to get the out, you go to the off-speed pitch. So it's a change. It's a change in baseball. Austin Slater, for me, look, he crushed the ball to right center field. He's a dead right field hitter with power. And he's got speed. I don't know if you ever looked it up. He's stolen like, 34 out of 36 bases in his career. he made a catch last night that got the pitcher out of trouble and made a tremendous catch and covered a lot of ground. Slater's speed maybe is underrated, and the catch was underrated.
Yeah, this is a good lesson in, like, how to take a statistic that you're hearing now when you hear them on broadcast and say, okay, it kind of applies here when it might not apply in other situations. And I'll walk you through it. So Austin Slater made that catch down the line, sprinting, really made it look like a really difficult play. Part of the reason that was a really difficult play for him was he didn't necessarily get a great reaction off the bat. And there are statistics now that allow you to determine that. How quickly does the guy move within the first second or so of the ball hitting the bat? So he didn't get a great read. But because of that speed that you talked about, because he can accelerate and what they call the sprint speed, his sprint speed peaked on that ball at what they call, what the number comes out to is like 30.5 feet per second, which is really good. That's like 3 seconds home to first, essentially, at your very fastest. Mm. So he needed to be that fast for that 1 second that he was that fast in order to make that play. He doesn't make that play if he's at his norm, his average for speed. He had to turn it up a notch. He has that gear. As you said, the stolen base is 32 out of 35 for his career. I think the acceleration probably has a little something to do with it. As I think, I'm not a scientist, but I think that on that play, it was very apparent that he had to go beyond his means. He did, and he has the skills to do that.
Well, I'll tell you, Sammy Long was very happy because it was second and third in the first inning, and could look, it changes the game around if that falls in for the net. So, wow, that's some speed to. If you put that in, it's a good image of first base. I mean, you'd be getting to first base in 3 seconds.
Right. And that's, admittedly, that's at his very fastest within
that's
that.
That's pretty good.
Right? So it's
pretty
like good. That 1 second. Boy, he was like an all-pro kind of sprinter.
Love it. Very good. 49ers should take a look at him. All right.
Right, exactly.
Who's the umpire today? It always has a big bearing, and you're usually pretty good on this.
Yeah, so this is Mark Ripperger. Mark Ripperger has a big strike zone, a pitcher strike zone, which I think will be beneficial to Alex Wood. He's a fairly long-time guy. Ripperger widens the outside corner, lowers the bottom of the zone more than other umpires do. He's in our meetings, he's in, like, there are, like, what, 90 umpires? He's in, like, the top 15 when it comes to bigger plate pitcher friendliness. That kind of thing. Tomorrow, Tom Hellion, by the way, in his super fancy strike three. But he shrinks the zone. He's not looking to do that crazy strike three. He doesn't go out of his way to call it. He calls it, like, when it's pertinent. He's actually more of a hitter-friendly umpire. But today, pitcher-friendly for Alex Wood for sure.
Yeah, it probably helps Aaron Sanchez, too, if he's throwing a lot of junk up there.
Yep.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, Tom Hallion, for folks who don't remember, he has that twist, and he throws his body to the side and punches somebody out, and his arms go wild. I thought of that when they showed him. They showed him a couple of times on the broadcast last night. I said, oh, good, we're going to see him on Sunday. Mark Simon is with us. Mark A. Simon says on Twitter. The Padres, I could be wrong, but I don't think they made an error yet. Have they all season?
So it's their infield defense has been terrific. Our company, Sports Info Solutions, does the stat of the week. You can find it at sportsinfosolutions.com. Shameless plug. Padres infield has been great, and that's Cronenworth, Hosmer, Abrams, and Machado. And their rate of getting outs on balls that are hit is like super high this year. It's in like the high 80s, which is not something that typically lasts for 162 games, but they've had a really, 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 really good 15-game stretch, and they've been really, 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 really good in shifts. And you're talking about trends. Trend this year, for sure, so far, start of the season, teams shifting more, ground balls having a harder time sneaking through, having a harder time becoming hits, and the Padres are at the front of the line on that.
I was listening to the game last night. I think Kim dropped the grounder, but still got the out at first. So probably people got nervous about that. Well, I compared the Giants to the Gas House Gang of the 30s with their aggressive
play. I wasn't
play
around.
and what they do. Maybe their uniforms are cleaner. But we saw it last night. What was your take on that?
You're talking about, like, the being aggressive up six.
Yeah.
Like, come on. I thought that that was so – that one to me was pretty – that was ridiculous that the Nationals got upset about that. So just thinking about it, it's a six-run lead. What's the point where, like, Javale has to get up or McGee has to get up? It's probably like 7-3, right? Like, it's not 7-3 with a man on base. You probably start getting them up late in the game. Is it that absurd to think that the Nationals are going to score two runs at some point? No. Like, and five-run innings happen pretty often. You had one earlier in the game. They happen across baseball probably 2-3 times a day. Like, the idea that the Nationals got upset at 7-1 is a little silly. At 17-1, okay, I get it. But at 7-1, that's – come on.
Well, that's the issue, is where you draw the line. And as I say, the Giants are trying to get an identity of playing aggressive baseball innings 1 through 9, and that's an identity. And we'll talk about some more of this, but I compared it to the old – 1930 Gas House Gang, the way they played. Hey, Mark, always a pleasure. Always a pleasure, and thank you for the message from the fellow from Haverford. I appreciate it. It's a great school. Maybe my grandson will apply there. Maybe I should be talking to him.
And I should note, he likes Bill and he likes Kerry, too.
All right. Thank you. Have a good afternoon.
See ya. Bye.
All right. That is Mark Simon. More coming up. Our Giants pregame continues right after this. Oh, yes, and Raph is right. I have to read. Now it's time for the week's Community Spotlight, sponsored by Chilton Auto Body with 15 locations to serve you. This month's spotlight is on the food bank of Contra Costa and Solano. Thanks, Raph.